Thank you, Lord. Okay. Aren't you excited? You get to be alive right now at this moment. Guys, we are the church of this hour in the darkest time. And I think he just has his green berets here right now in this time.
Thank you, Lord.
And so, Lord, we thank you for this message today of the kind of lifestyle that is should be normal for us as your family, as your army, as your people. And we thank you for your word. We thank you that our hearts are able to receive and be transformed. And we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to change us, reveal your word to us. We shake off any thoughts about the rest of today. We shake off any tiredness. We shake off anything that would prevent us from receiving everything that you have. And now with great attentiveness, Lord, we receive from you that which will position us for the days ahead, Lord, as your kingdom people, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, in talking about lifestyle of the redeemed, as Matt said, we were discussing different people in the Bible and different characteristics of what's important. And so what's important is that we're going to be people of prayer. We're going to be people of worship. We're going to be people who speak right, who are not positioned in fear, but positioned in the love of God. And so there's so many things that the Lord has for the lifestyle that he's setting us apart for. And I was asking him, what is the one thing that would be like among the top important things? And so last night at 3:33, I guess this morning, I woke up with an awakening that was just so abrupt and full of, I can't say that it was exactly joy yet, but it was definitely wide awake. And I felt like the Lord said, right alignment is one of the keys to the lifestyle that God has for us as his redeemed sons and daughters. So think about this. In the next few moments, I'm going to talk about how we're aligned. And you can think of many people in the Bible who are aligned properly and who are aligned not properly. I was thinking of Lot earlier. Remember how Uncle Abraham gave Lot the choice of like any of the land? And for some reason, he chose to position himself right next to Sodom and Gomorrah, the most evil and decadent cities of the whole region. Wrong alignment. Think about Noah and the kids. Aren't you glad they were positioned in the ark when the rain began to fall? And so they were positioned in right alignment. We're going to speak of a couple more, but I want to give you the definition of being in right alignment. Did you know we can't just live in any old alignment? We have to live in the right alignment that God has already positioned us when we received him. And so here's the definition. Are you ready to write this down? Yeah. Right alignment. Alignment means a position of agreement or alliance. Arrangement in a straight line or correct relative position. And in our case, it's relative position according to God's word. Another definition of alignment is the act of proper positioning. And so the Lord wants us to be in right alignment so we can walk in what he's already destined us to be. Synonyms are affiliation, agreement, and alliance. And guess what? There's only one antonym for alignment, and it's non-alignment. You're either aligned or you're not aligned. Simple. So how many of you want to be in a right alignment to walk in everything God has destined us to walk in? Because guys, let me just say this. At this moment, it's very important that you're positioned correctly. And one of the most magnificent and at the same time sobering truths about what God has done for us is that he has given us the ability to choose. And so when it comes to right alignment, much has been given. We've been positioned by him, and yet we get to choose. Remember, I set this day before you. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose what? Life. We choose how we're aligned. And so on the one hand, that's super exciting. On the other hand, that can be super sobering, right? So today, the Lord's going to speak to you some areas you might need to just get a little smidge of adjustment. And here's the great, great, great news. You can just get right back in alignment with the Holy Spirit. And so think about when you received the Lord and you opened up your heart, you received the power of the blood of Jesus. Raise your hand if you're so thankful for that power of that blood that has forgiven us and washed us and cleansed us. The power of the cross. And we've been forgiven. We rejoiced in our forgiveness. We believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We invited Him to come take residence in our heart. And He came in and He made His residence. He made our spirits His temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now He lives in us, right? And at that time, we became a new creation in Him. And though we were apart from Christ when we were born with a sin nature. When that happened, how many of you are so grateful that He came and forgave us, put our sin and our separation as far as the east is from the west? He forgave us, covered us in His blood. We became a new creation in Christ, and then He came to live in us in the power of an endless life. And now the Holy Spirit Himself, Jesus Himself, in the power and presence and person of the Holy Spirit, lives in you. Lift both hands if you're grateful about that. And so now you've been seated with Him in heavenly places. Now you're the head and not the tail. Now you're a child of God, a member of the family. Now you're no longer in darkness, but you're in light. You're no longer in death, but you're in life. You're no longer separated, but you're now connected to the vine. You're a branch in the vine. Now this is the positioning that God has placed you. But how many of you know some days as we're going through our day, we don't feel connected to that reality? And so we have to choose to position ourselves in that which God has already positioned Himself. And how do we do that? That's what I just want to tell you for a few moments. I'm so glad we can position ourselves. And I brought a few examples, but I just wanted to mention Precious Mary of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Do you remember these three friends of Jesus? And remember when in chapter Luke, they were with Jesus and Mary, I can always relate to her. She's making sure everything looks good. She's making the meal. She's making sure the house is good. Martha, somebody's got to do the work, right, ladies? We know this. And yet, here's Mary. And the word says that Mary was doing that which was the most needful. Where was she positioned? She aligned herself or positioned herself at the feet of Jesus, listening and engaging. Pastor Matt feels, I feel this as well, that this Mary is the same Mary who is the sinful woman of the city whom Jesus delivered of seven demons and who was so overwhelmed with thankfulness that she brought her alabaster of oil when Jesus was in the house and she broke that alabaster jar and worshiped Him without a word. Her tears on His feet, washing her feet with her hair, breaking the alabaster jar and positioning herself in worship of her King. Are we positioned in a place of worshiping Him and loving Him? And I just want to say, here we are when we're born and we're going through our life. When we receive the Lord, we are positioned now in His favor, in His love. We're positioned to receive everything He has for us. But what happens? Sometimes because of our thinking and because of looking at natural situations and circumstances, or maybe we begin to align ourselves with things that aren't of Him and listening to things that aren't of Him, what happens? We can move ourselves over here. But guess what? The Lord wants us to keep ourselves under the position of where He can bless us. Did you know His favor is on you? His favor is for you. You are highly favored of the Lord, but you position yourself in the line to receive that favor. Did you know that you are being watered by someone? You are being watered by someone or something. And I want to ask us today, who is watering us? What are the inputs that are coming into our ears and eyes, the associations of the people that we're with? Are we positioned with those who are seeking after God? Are we reading those things and listening to those things that are those things that are going to be of the Lord? Or are those things that are watering us with something contrary? So I want to encourage you that you have to challenge yourself to get in the right position. And how do you know if you're out of position? Listen to your words. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is speaking. And Pastor Matt will tell you, sometimes after I've been speaking a while, he just gets this look. And I know when I get that look, I need to just get back into my quiet time with the Lord and spend a little more time in the Word before my mouth keeps speaking what my natural eyes are seeing. And so when we position ourselves in His presence. And so I want to encourage, this is what I want to encourage you in. You have to on purpose position yourself in the presence of God like Jesus did way before the dawn or in the morning. You need to position yourself in Him, in the Word, in His love. What happens when we don't? We just go out without any armor on, without any Word of God, and we just sail into our day, and all of a sudden we realize we are out of alignment. Our words are speaking natural things, complaining things, overwhelming things. And the Lord wants us to be in His presence in such a way, like Mary at the feet of Jesus, that we're able to receive from Him in proper alignment what He has for us, so that we can walk in. You know, one thing that's so important is that you're walking positioned in the right alignment of forgiveness every day. And so when you're in your time with the Lord, you position yourself under the blood. The blood's already been given, but we have a choice to make. Do we position ourselves in forgiveness? Lord, I thank You for forgiving me. I acknowledge my sin of my words, my actions, my thoughts, and I position myself, Lord, to receive Your forgiveness. And I also give forgiveness. Every time You're forgiving, every time you receive forgiveness, you're positioning yourself in right alignment. Are you renewing your mind with the Word of God? That's positioning yourself correctly. Worship positions us properly. Some days when I wake up, my mind is racing with 100 thoughts of the day. But if I can begin to direct my focus, realign my focus to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and begin to thank Him and worship Him and honor Him for who He is and declare who He is. What am I doing? I am realigning myself from way over here. I'm pulling my chair up to His table, and I am positioning myself in a place that I can walk in His presence. Who positioned themselves there? Me. I chose to position myself not in being overwhelmed and complaining and mediocrity, but I positioned myself in worship and thanksgiving. And what happens? He begins to minimize all my little circumstances that are subject to change, everything my mind's been racing about, and He becomes exalted, and He becomes my vision. He becomes now the one that is directing me. My good shepherd, the lover of my soul. How are we positioned today? Guess what? We can reposition ourselves at any day. So I was thinking, I know there's a little scrimmage going on later on today, little football game. And so I just got to thinking about it. You have to be in right alignment. So I was thinking, what are some of the greatest centers of all time? Well, I think Mike Webster is a really good one. The Pittsburgh Steelers from long ago, he's no longer with us. But when you think of centers, and then, of course, you think of the quarterback. Of course, Terry Bradshaw was the one that was usually with him. And when you think on that line of scrimmage, there's Mike Webster. 25 red, hut, hut, height. And then you've got Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw, probably one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, or you could think of who you want. Joe Montana, Drew Brees, who's on for today? Yeah, Roman Gabriel, of course, is one of my favorite ones. Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady. But you think about Terry Bradshaw ready on that line of scrimmage, and then you've got Mike Webster ready to hut the ball. If Terry Bradshaw is not aligned properly, if he's on the enemy side or the opposing side, or if he's over here on the field, or if he's just fixing his helmet on the sidelines, that can be the greatest, the absolute best snap of all time. And guess what? That play is not going to happen because he's not aligned properly. Well, and what about the receivers? I mean, you've got these quarterbacks, and then what if you have the greatest receivers of all time? It could be Jerry Rice. Tom Brady says that Joe Moss is the greatest receiver he's ever played with. So, Randy Moss. If he tosses and pitches the ball and there's no receiver, what was wrong? No alignment, play's not going to happen. We have to be in the right alignment with the Lord in order to walk in everything that He has destined for us. And so I want to challenge us today. Psalm 91, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Are we in the secret place of the Most High? Are we John 15 people? Branches aligned with the vine. John 15 is a chapter you should read every single day. Abide in me, and I in you. A branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine. And so are we positioned? Are we aligned in the vine? When you're positioned in the vine, you don't have to know everything. You don't have to be an expert in everything. You don't even have to have been had the most amazing history. All you know is that when you're aligned with the vine, everything that the vine is flows through the branch and bears fruit for the glory of the vine and for all to enjoy. And so lift your hands right now. We're going to get aligned properly today. And I just want to show you how easy it is. Father, right now, wherever we've been unaligned, not aligned properly, right now, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We repent of being unaligned. We repent of not being positioned in your word. We repent of allowing our emotions to control us. We repent, Lord, of wrong words. We repent of anything that's been apart from your will. We receive forgiveness. And we ask that you would position us correctly. You have made us a new creation in you. So we thank you that old things are passed away. We've become a new creation in Christ. We are new in you. We're positioned in you. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would teach us how to walk in proper alignment with you each and every day. Teach us this lesson in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I really want to encourage you in this. Because everything has been given to us by the Lord as new creations. But we have to choose how we're aligning ourselves with it. And you got to get tough with yourself. You got to tell yourself, listen, self, you're not speaking right. You're not even thinking right. So get it together and get in right alignment with this word right here. Don't let your mind just go off thinking any old thing. Okay? You just can't allow yourself to do that. You get a hold of those thoughts. You take them captive and you make your mind believe the word of God. And you don't let your mouth speak any old thing of doubt, unbelief, or fear. You make your mouth get in alignment with the word of God. And you know what's going to happen? Oh, the Holy Spirit is going to watch over that word and perform it. And you're going to find yourself elevated to a new place. And you're not going to feel far away. You're going to feel close in. However you regard this word and put this word in your heart and your mind every day is the degree you love God. So I got to encourage you. Your alignment depends on this word. You better get yourself in the word of God every day. And don't just take it for granted like, well, I've known the Lord for 30 years, so I've mainly read all this. Oh, the living word of God is new every single day. And if there was ever a time we need the sword of the Spirit, as Pastor Matt said, the sword in one hand, the trowel in the other, we have got to be aligned in the word. And as the body of Christ, we have to be aligned with him. We have to be aligned properly concerning Israel, concerning the role of the body of Christ, concerning God's ways. I mean, in our nation, if the body of Christ would get aligned with the Lord and begin to speak and pray those things out, I am telling you, we'd see a turnaround. So we have to grow up. And I promise you, there's days, in fact, I felt this way just this week. I just feel so frustrated, disconnected. I'm not just quite on. And the Lord just encouraged me, get in me, begin to worship me. Get control over your mouth, bring your thoughts captive, and begin to be so desperate for this word that you are absolutely, this word is your number one priority in worshiping me. And as I do that, I realign myself. See, the Lord's not just going to realign you. You begin to realign yourself based on what you know to be true, and then the Holy Spirit jumps in and links arms with you and brings you to a new place. And so what do you say? This is how we begin to live. Aligned properly in his favor, in his love, in the word of God, in prayer, the truth of what he says about us, not believing a lie, and walking as Mary did with the most needful thing, positioned at his feet in worship. Thank you, Lord.
pretty tough, honey. I don't know if I can match that. So, alignment. Everybody say alignment. And what I'm going to speak about, Joshua and Caleb, how they aligned themselves with the Word of God when everybody else did not. If you want to know why Joshua and Caleb were able to get into the Promised Land, Hebrews 3 says that because of disobedience, Israel was not allowed to get in. And the very next verse says, and because of unbelief, Israel was kept out. Their unbelief led to disobedience. But Joshua and Caleb, it tells us, because they fully followed the Lord. God said about Caleb, he had a different spirit. Everybody say a different spirit. Because he wholeheartedly or fully followed the Lord. And so no part-time. The lifestyle of the redeemed is pedal to the metal, 100%. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Okay? It's that part-time living for God and then living for me that gets us in trouble, right? And we have all these Old Testament stories. Now, there is some thoughts going around the church today that that's Old Testament, Old Covenant, and we're New Covenant, and those are Old Testament examples for the Old Testament people. As ridiculous as that is being preached mainstream now. And I just want to give you a verse to show, and then I can give you 10 verses or more to show this truth. But this is in 2 Timothy, and it says in verse 15 that from childhood, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16 and 17. All Scripture. Is the Old Testament Scripture? All Scripture. Old Testament, New. 66 books. Okay. 39 old, 27 new. They make 66 books. And it says from childhood, all Scripture, in verse 16, is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So you can read the book of Numbers, chapter 13, 33, that verse, and we can get something out of that. We are to submit ourselves to the truth of all Scripture. Okay, now there's some Old Testament positions that we've been set free from, the law of Moses, we've been set free from. Now we're under a new covenant, established upon better promises. But these Old Testament types and shadows, it says in 1 Corinthians 10, that they were given to us as examples that we might not sin as they did in that one situation there in 1 Corinthians 10. It lists five things that Israel kept stumbling over. They were out of alignment because of sinning. And that story of their lives have been given to us, even in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, for us to learn and not repeat those mistakes. All Scripture, everybody say all Scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's teaching. That's truth. For reproof. That means that you can be, you know, slapped around by the Word of God. How many of you're willing to be slapped around by the Word of God? I'm going to leave names out of this. I don't want to leave names out of it, but I'm going to leave names out of it. Family, sometimes, and friends of mine. Had a friend that would read the Bible every day, 7 days a week, 2 hours a day, and was the most difficult person to be around I've ever been around. How do you do that? That's impossible. You've got to get sweet at least 1%. There's got to be a change. But see, they read the Word of God for knowledge instead of allowing the Word of God to speak to them and cut them and shape them and mold them. You do not. In 2017, the lifestyle of the redeemed is humility. And you stand before the Lord and you don't say, I'm all that. You say, apart from you, I am nothing. I am undone without you. I need you with my next breath. Okay? And as much as I need my next breath, I need you. And so I'm going to read this again. For reproof, for correction. How many of you in 2017, you can be corrected? Okay? I can be. I know I'm going to need a lot of correction. Amy told me so. So I thought I'd get you back. For instruction in righteousness. All scripture, instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay? And so we need to be able to receive the teaching of the Word of God here in Numbers 13. Even though it's Old Testament, there's truths here that are going to show us that it's not just God going to do it for you. Okay? If you can understand the alignment, it's important. The head and the body. What kind of alignment is necessary for you having a head and a body to function and to go forward? You got to work in unison. The head directs, the body does. The head of the church is Jesus. He directs and we do. Amen? And but there's a neck between the head and the body. And what happens if that neck gets broke? The body's going to be sitting in a wheelchair. Okay? And the head will be frustrated because the head can't, your head cannot carry, take you, your body has to take you places and do things. So the ability of the head to have its will done and the body that's going to do that will, it has to be in proper alignment. If there's a break there, and that break happens every day with Christians, the branch gets taken away from the vine. How does the branch gets taken away from the vine? The branch, that branch made the decision not to connect. Okay? You have to make a choice to connect to the Lord. Okay? Search for me. Seek for me, the Lord says. Come and pray without ceasing. And all these verses tell us that you can't be lazy in your approach to God and expect the blessings of God. Sluggards, whether Christians or non-Christians, are going to have the same experience. Something is going to come upon you that you don't like. And in 2017, you cannot be lazy in your faith. You cannot depend on the sovereignty of God to do A through Z for you. And there are churches that are teaching that God in His sovereignty is taking care of everything. Well, the Bible says that God says, I sought for a man to stand in the gap. I couldn't find a man. So I myself had to do it. But he says in Ezekiel, I sought for a man to stand in the gap that I would not destroy. God says in another verse, I do nothing on the earth unless I show my prophets. And there are thousands, probably we could go, and that might be a little bit of exaggeration, a thousand for sure that I could show you where God does nothing unless man does it. God only works through men. He only works through us. Okay? And so in 2017, if there's going to be a great lifestyle for us, then there has to be an alignment with the head. And the number one way that you are aligned, as Amy said, is with the Word of God. Amen. Now, Israel, when they came out of Egypt, some say there were between 2 and 3 million Jews that came out in a mixed multitude. There were Egyptians that, you know, wised up and saw the place. I'm not staying here. I'm going with these guys. So there was a mixed multitude that came out. Most of them were Jews, okay? And the 12 tribes, you know, they came out. And I want to make sure I go in the right direction. Just lift your hands with me for a moment. Lord, we just thank you right now that as we're going out in proper alignment. This year is so important, church. We can't miss a day. We cannot miss a day. And so Joshua and Caleb, just going here to Numbers 13. Basically, the story is that God has brought his people out of bondage. Now he wants to take them into the promised land. And somebody got the idea that maybe we ought to spy out the land. Have you ever wondered about that? You know, there's two accounts in the Old Testament, one in Numbers, and there's another account where this story that somebody got the idea to send spies in, okay? And in one of the accounts, I believe it is actually is the Lord that said, send the spies in. But here's my take on it. In the Numbers account that we're going to read, we're not going to actually read this because of the time. I'm going to just tell you, it's Numbers 13. They came to Moses and said, now they're right at the promised land border. They're at Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh means holy, sanctified. It's at this moment, we're right here. One more step over and we step in the promised land. For some reason, the miracles of Egypt were not enough. The parting of the Red Sea was not enough. That the people began to get nervous. And they said to Moses, let us send spies in to spy out the land. And see if God's word is true. Do you actually think that was really necessary? Do you think God figured out where the good land was? Anyway, God could take a piece of dirt and make it flow with milk and honey. But he had already gone ahead and said, this is going to be the promised land flowing with milk and honey. And so that was the word that was given to him all the way back with Moses when they were still in Egypt. And now they say, Moses, we need to send those spies in. And so Moses said, okay. He said, that might be a good idea. So what happens when the 12 spies are sent in? They see the land, and what is really cool about the land? One of the images in my mind, it might be in yours, is two men carrying back on a big pole one cluster of grapes. It took two men carrying on a pole one cluster of grapes. I mean, you talk about big grapes. But, you know, it was the land of the giants. And so when those 12 spies went in, 10 of them were not aligned properly. They were aligned. They were elders. They were leaders in their tribes because there was a spy from each of the 12 tribes. And Caleb and Joshua both. These were the two spies that came back with a good report. But 10 of them came back with a bad report because 10 of them were not aligned with God's word. They had forgotten the God of miracles, and they no longer lived for fulfilling the word of God. They gave their assessment, and this is what they said. Now they came back, and they told them, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. The word of God is true. It flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit, those big grapes on a pole. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. Nevertheless. Now your carnal man is going to try and say that word to you. When the promise of God is sitting over here true, and you've got proof that it's true, you know the word of God is not false, and yet there's going to be a nevertheless from your carnal nature and the unbelief of that carnal nature. And it could be also a demonic voice could come to you and try to discourage you to go in to what God has given you. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, but God's stronger. The cities are fortified and very large. In 2017, I don't care what the fortification of the enemy is. We've got a bigger God. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, the giants. Well, are you seeing God as great and powerful? The Amalekites dwell in the south. We preached this a few weeks ago here. In the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea, along the banks of the Jordan. See, these 10 spies, they were given the exact location of all the giants in the land. But did they remember where one promise of God was? No, they had forgotten the word of God. They were now out of alignment. The head and the body are now out of alignment. Unbelief has now got a hold of their heart because they're looking at the giants and it's bigger than God. But look at verse 30. And this is the lifestyle of the redeemed in 2013 at the river. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. We're well able to go up. Let's do it. Let's go up at once. In 2017, there should be your faith should be in the mode of at once. You're not on your heels. You're not unprepared for the day. You got your armor on. You've got your mind renewed. You're ready to move with God. How many of you think it pays to listen to God, be ready to hear God speak? Now, Amy and I, many years ago, we were in a transition. And it's real easy in a transition time to panic and to jump through the wrong window. You know, you don't want to be jumping out a window because you don't like your circumstance. Wait for God to speak. We were pressed. I can't tell you how hard we were being pressed. So hard. I hated life in the natural at that moment. How many of you ever hate life at a moment that you just don't like it? Amy says no. But no, I did. At that moment, I'm hating the feeling of my stomach and knots, and I'm doing everything I can to cast these things off. Well, God began to speak to me. Quit your complaining. Get in alignment of faith with me. Remember the promises I spoke over you. Those are still true, in spite of the current circumstances. And he gave me a word. I heard a word of God. Get up from your desk, get your car, and start driving up and down Highway 78 and look for land. There was something that the word of the Lord came to me to move. And I obeyed that word, and I'm not going to go into all the details again, but about 3 to 4 weeks later, we bought a piece of property for $125,000 that we sold for $1 million 24 months later. And in that 2 to 3 weeks, Amy and I had to be able to hear the voice of God on 3 different prophetic words that we obeyed. 3 different words of knowledge came to us, and we obeyed. The first one was give $15,000 away to 15 different ministries. Most of them were orphanages or things like that. Am I right, Art, back there? We said the second word was, I can't remember. No, the first word was get up behind your desk. Second word was to give that money. Then another word was whoever you meet today that you normally don't meet, talk to them and tell them you want to buy land for build a church. Those 3 words came within 3 weeks. We obeyed every single one of them. And we ended up getting blessed, and we entered into a little bit of the promised land because we feared the word of the Lord. We feared God's word. We were listening to the Holy Spirit. We were aligned. We didn't sit down and say, God, in your sovereignty, I know you know where we are. And guys, I love the fact that God's sovereign, but God doesn't like it when we hide behind the skirt of sovereignty and we make him do everything, because God never said he was going to do everything. God's sitting on the throne and he said, let man have dominion in the earth. And that was in Genesis 1. And he's going to fulfill that word. And man will take dominion. A God man will take dominion. The God man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a body of believers now, the church. We are this incredible, glorious new creation that God can fully inhabit. And God in us, the hope of glory, can go forth and establish the kingdom. But the body, sacrifice and offering you would not, but a body you have prepared me. That's quoted out of Psalms in Hebrews 10. And now, according to the volume of the book, the Word of God, it is written, I will go and do thy will, O God. The problem with the people in Israel, those 10 spies came back with an evil report. And if you don't read your word every day and pray every day and stay connected to the Lord, you will get an evil report in between your two ears. You will get thoughts that will say, I can't, no way, impossible. There's giants out there. The message says they actually swallow people whole. You cannot allow your mind to be manipulated by momentary clouds and circumstances. You have to be anchored by the Word of God to where your thoughts are brought captive by the Word of God, bringing captive every thought. And then you've got to hear God say, see, I've given you the city. Now you get up and go possess it. It is a unity with God. It is a co-laboring with God. He doesn't expect you to go out without Him. He's certainly not going to go without you. And so if we're going to actually expand the kingdom, you've got to learn to walk with God by His Word. The only reason why Joshua and Caleb got into the promised land, now listen to Caleb, let us go, he quieted the people. And the lifestyle of the redeemed in 2017, if you're around people in unbelief, don't cause a fight when they're momentarily caught up in a negativity. But be, you know, sweet about it, but redirect the conversation into the will of God. Now, I'm saying, if you got the flu and you're just miserable, and I ask you what's wrong with you, and you say nothing, I don't want to hear that. I want you to tell me, Pastor, I'm battling the flu, but I got the victory over it. It has no right to attack my body. But that flu virus, it does exist. It has no right to exist on your body. And so you need me to pray the prayer of agreement with you. We'll do that. Okay? Okay? It's not scriptural to pretend that it's not there. Just rebuke it and get it off you. And if you need prayer, we'll do that. So today, why don't you stand on your feet? You know, they saw, they interrupted Caleb, said, no, we're in the land. Verse 32, and they gave the children of Israel, these 10 spies, gave a bad report of the land, a bad report of the land that God had given them, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, eats its people whole, and the people whom we saw in it were men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendant of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in their sight. Okay. Over in 14, I want to go down to where God says, he says this about the 10 spies. You know what happened to the 10 spies over in that story? They died before the Lord immediately. A lot of times we don't remember that. Those 10 spies God took out immediately. They died right there in the presence of Israel. Those 10 guys fell down dead. I mean, when you're in authority and you start preaching garbage that we can't, you start preaching error, misrepresenting God, and you bring a bad report, teachers are going to incur the greater judgment. Beware. And God knew those 10 men and their bad report was spread that night through all the tents of Israel and it brought a nation in disalignment with God's faithfulness. Their sin of unbelief took a nation out, a whole generation that was going to lose the promised land because of 10 people who believed in giants more than in the God of the universe. Listen to what God says about, this is the lifestyle in 2017. We are Joshua and Caleb. They're bread for us to eat. We're going to have them for lunch, the Message translation says. God says in 23, this generation that's murmured against me 10 times, they shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who have rejected me see it. Verse 24, but my servant Caleb, and the River Family Church is walking in 2017 in the faith of this Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, a spirit of faith, a spirit wholeheartedly, and has followed me fully, or has wholeheartedly followed me, who has fully followed me, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. As we stand before the Lord, Amy, as you were ministering about Mary Magdalene, who always positioned herself in worship, but also in the Word, as she's there while Martha's cooking and Mary has chosen the more needful thing. Your lifestyle, church family, in 2017, will it be the Word of God first? Will you eat the Word of God? Will you devour the Word of God? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So lift your hands and let's commit, consecrate. Kadesh Barnea, the word Kadesh means consecration. The very border of being able to enter the promised land is at the place of consecration is what that's the typology. That's what that's telling us. Kadesh Barnea is the place of consecration. Will you consecrate yourself with me today afresh to be aligned with God at all times? Will you align yourself in daily devotion of the Word, where you'll desire the Word more than your daily sustenance? Will you acknowledge that you can't live by bread alone, natural stuff? You must live by every rhema word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Will you align yourself in prayer? Will you align yourself in worship? Will you be like Joshua and Caleb when everybody else was running away because of circumstance? Remember the God who set them free The promise that he said, I'm giving you a land that flows with milk and honey. How many of you say yes and amen to that today? Amy, would you come up and lead us in a prayer of consecration?
Thank you, Father. I think just as we're still before the Lord, just a few moments right here, could we all just offer our prayer to the Lord out of our own hearts of putting aside some things and consecrating ourselves afresh, just between you and Him right now. Thank you, Lord. He loves our sincere heart and our authentic heart to be honest and just to move toward Him. Thank you, Lord. Father, as we consecrate ourselves afresh today, we just thank you so much for your presence and your love. We desire not to live in our old ways of Adam, but we desire to arise as new creation people, hearing your voice, agreeing with your word, walking in unity with you, Holy Spirit. And on this day, today, Lord, we make a decision to walk forward in proper alignment with you, as Caleb and Joshua speaking your word and singing, it is well, for your word is the truth of our life. It is well. It is well. We love you. We worship you. We honor you. We thank you for your will in our lives, in our families, in the church, in the nations. Lord, give us an eternal perspective. Help us not to think of just what is right in front of our eyes, but give us your eternal perspective. And also to see the harvest fields, that it's not about us. It's about you in us, seeking to save that which is lost. So we love you today, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. So as we stand before the Lord, it's really important that we believe, therefore we speak. So as you stand on the border of Kadesh Barnea in your own life, this place of consecration and where you're all in for the Lord, you're going to be living in alignment to Him. Will you just tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, I consecrate myself. And you can say it out loud. Lord Jesus, I consecrate myself to you by your grace. You will empower me to live a life in alignment with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.